Drodzy bracia i siostry. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was still in Poland. My dear brethren, your own beloved brethren in Poland, particularly, send you their Christian love and greetings. I think most of you know that my journey actually began in Great Britain. My first stop was in Dublin, Ireland. I'm not sure that they are so happy to be considered part of England, but nevertheless, the brethren there at Dublin send their love and greetings to you, as do the brethren in Londonderry, Ireland. Sister Fanny Stimson of Portrush particularly wanted to be remembered to you also because she remembered so many of you and her recent visit here. The brethren in Glasgow, Scotland also send their love, and the convention at Liverpool, England voted that I should bring their love and greetings to you as well. There was an immersion service to be planned at Liverpool, but the brother that was to be immersed was not able to attend, so they arranged for this immersion service to be held in Dewsbury a week later. And what is so interesting about this is that this brother came into the truth as a result of an ad which was run in the English edition of the Reader's Digest a couple of years ago. And all of you had a part in doing that particular service on his behalf. The brethren in Manchester and Aldersbrook and Ipswich also send their love and greetings. And I'm very happy to report that we have in our midst two sisters from Ipswich. We have Sister Gibson and Sister Ellinger, and I wonder if they would mind just standing up so that you might meet them and make a special effort to make their acquaintance. Then I bring you personal greetings of love from Brother Murray and from Brother Robert, who both served us at previous general conventions, and also from Sister Amy Pampling. And the little group that looks after the sending out of Dawn Literature in Gidea Park in the London area, that would include the Nadells, the Cornells, Margie Chandra, Margaret and Gwen Evans, that also attended a general convention, I think it was 3 years ago, and Sister Elsie and Brother Reeder also send their love. And then there's, of course, the brethren in Freiburg, Germany, and Weinsberg, Germany, most particularly Sister Krista Krecker of the German Dawn Office, who was also here at one of our general conventions, and Sister Margaret Schoenberg of the French Dawn Office. They all send their love and greetings to you, too. One of the most interesting objectives of my trip overseas was, as you know, to be a visit to our Polish brethren and to attend a general convention that was to be held there. This year, a millennium is being celebrated in Poland in connection with the 1,000 years of that particular kingdom or nation. And of course, the Catholic Church is claiming that it is 1,000 years of Christianity in Poland, which they established. And this has touched off much trouble and rioting between the communist government and the Catholic Church. The item of greatest veneration in Poland for Polish Catholics is the Black Madonna, which is in the cathedral at Częstochowa. It was planned that a picture of the Black Madonna would be carried from city to city in a procession, and this procession would be added to as they would come to this particular city and then go on to the next. And the climax was to have been a presentation of the duplicate of the original Black Madonna to the Pope on his arrival there. But I think you all know that the government stepped in, they broke up these processions, they even took the picture away, although they did give it back to the Catholics, and they even canceled permission for the Pope to visit Poland, so I'm one up on the Pope. Now, the brethren in Poland, as you might well suspect, have suffered much during two world wars. The country was not only a crossroads between two enemies, but along with the Jews, it was earmarked for destruction. The result was that the country was largely destroyed, that is, the cities were largely destroyed. In Warsaw, for instance, 8 out of 10 homes were turned into rubble. There were 6 million Polish people, which also included many Jews, who lost their lives during the last war, and half of the national wealth of Poland was lost. This naturally had its effect on the brethren, because very often fathers would be taken prisoners, younger boys were placed in war camps, and mothers were left behind to care as they could for their little ones. I stayed with a brother in his home who was just 17 years old when the enemy invaded his particular city. And they took him as a prisoner, but when the truck stopped, he managed to escape. But 3 days later in the woods, he was caught and sent to the Auschwitz concentration camp. But being trained as an electrician, he was transferred to one of the branches where other prisoners of war were sent, and he managed to escape with his life. He is now one of the most active brethren in Poland and has a family of 3 children, and he does weekend pilgrim work in the area. One of the most stirring events that took place after the war finally ended was the first convention that was held by the brethren, where more than 200 met, most of them getting there on foot. They gathered just a few miles outside of Krakow. They had no meeting place, so they met in the woods. It was the first time in 4 years or more that the brethren were able to get together. It was the first time in more than 4 years that, as a group, they could raise their voices in song. It was the first time in 4 years that they could hear someone else offer a prayer to the Heavenly Father. Of course, housing the brethren at that time was, even as now, quite a problem. So most of them slept in the barns that happened to be left standing, but most of them just slept in the field. But it was a great convention. It was so wonderful because they not only were able to praise the Lord for all of His watch, care, and guidance over them, but many families, for the first time in these years, were reunited. After the war, the brethren suffered a great deal because a period of terrorism set in. There were roving bands that just seemed to sweep the country with religious meetings particularly in mind. And quite often these bands of armed bandits would be housed in the local parish house. During one convention, while the brethren were getting ready for sleep after quite a long day of conventioning together, they were in a barn, some of them sleeping on the upper tier and some finding a place on the first floor, when suddenly one of these bands made an attack. They used automatic guns and they just swept through the first floor. Three of our brethren were killed on that occasion, and some seven were injured. Now those conditions have now changed. While it is still necessary, of course, to get a permit in order to meet together, and if you happen to be in a city more than 2 days and you're not staying in a hotel, you have to go to the local authorities and register with them. Nevertheless, those who have a permit to meet together for a religious meeting are quite safe from interference, because violators, those who might harass them in their meeting, if caught doing this and violating the law, are subject to imprisonment up to 5 years. And so, of course, this has brought quite a great change in the affairs of the brethren and has brought them much joy, because they feel that they have considerable freedom at this time. As far as I could judge, there are probably a total of some 3,500 to 4,000 brethren, that is, consecrated brethren, throughout Poland. The greatest number of these being in the Kraków area, which is the southern part of Poland. Most classes have a problem of where to meet, because it is still very difficult for the brethren to go out and to hire a hall, because even though the Catholic Church is somewhat subdued there, nevertheless, they still have an influence, and quite often it is difficult for brethren to find a suitable meeting place. In the homes of the brethren are not really large enough to have meetings, and weather conditions do not always permit open-air meetings. But somehow or other, the Protestants there seem to be dedicated to one cause, and so occasionally the Baptists or Methodists will rent out their meeting place to the brethren. Now the home, of course, of the brethren I mentioned would be too small for meetings, and this is true, although in some cases the brethren do meet in homes just as we would in a smaller class here in this country. Now the most comfortable and convenient method of meeting together seems to exist in the city of Warsaw, where the brethren have, by the help of the Polish-American brethren in this country, and with token assistance from the brethren in Poland, been able to buy a home, a rather large home with a number of rooms in it, but it has a rather large meeting room in which 75 or so can be seated. It is called Dom Modlitwy, which is the house of prayer. On occasion, they can get about 100 into this meeting room by having them stand in little nooks and corners and along the wall. They're not so worried about their physical comfort. They don't seem to mind standing for an hour or two, and that's about the length of the meetings there. If a brother is to serve, they'll open with two or three hymns, and then the chairman will give a little introduction, which is what we would consider a sort of a miniature discourse. Then they have the regular discourse. Then, of course, the brother has to close the meeting, and you get a little discourse again. So then by the time they sing a couple more hymns to closing, why, it has taken at least 2 hours. But they have a problem even with singing, because very few meeting places, very few of the homes have a piano. So they have to remember the tunes. And sometimes they start out with one tune and they finish up with another. And they have a way of singing very slowly. When they, remember the first hymn that I heard was number one, and believe me, I could hardly recognize it. But I never enjoyed hymn number one as much in my life. They tell me that there was one little group near Białystok that had no piano, and no one seemed to know too much about music, but one sister had attended a convention, and she remembered one particular hymn, the tune from this hymn. And so I think they set 87 hymns to this one tune. This little building, this Dom Modlitwy in Warsaw, is where the full-time Polish pilgrim, the only pilgrim that they have in the country, lives, and his wife with another sister. They do the housekeeping and the cooking, and whenever brethren come to Warsaw, they go there directly, and they're always accommodated. But they're finding that this meeting place is now too small, and they would like to enlarge it. But of course, they have a problem. They don't have the money. But they're hoping that perhaps in the providence of the Lord, they will be able to enlarge their meeting place, because it's just getting much too crowded. In Częstochowa, the seat of Catholicism in Poland, there is a class of 66, and they meet in a hall that seats 31. So they come pretty early to meetings. The same condition exists in a number of other places. When I heard that the Polish General Convention was exceptionally well attended 2 years ago, I assumed that it was because they didn't hold many conventions, but I soon found that this was not true. They have many, many conventions in various areas, and a number of classes now hold an all-day meeting once a month, which is a sort of a one-day convention. The brethren are not allowed to pass tracts or to advertise public meetings, even though they would very much like to do so. So their public work, of necessity, must consist of personal witnessing. I noticed that a number of JWs are leaving the group in Poland. They're not allowed to meet together, but many of them are recognizing that the truths of the society are not the real Word of God, and so they are meeting with our brethren. In the last 5 years, in the city of Krakow, there were 40 who have joined the class and who are worshiping the Heavenly Father just as we do today. In the city of Trest, there were only two consecrated brethren there for a number of years. But recently, 15 JWs joined them, and now they have a very nice class, and they're enjoying their studies very much. And because there is only one full-time pilgrim, some classes have not had pilgrim service for some 2 years or more. However, about 20 elders throughout Poland do weekend pilgrim service, but this too is limited to about one visit by each of the brethren a month, because they each, even though they can little afford it, do take care of their own expenses. In addition to the one pilgrim, there is another brother who is in the full-time service at the general office, where they send out the literature and carry on the correspondence. The brethren there in Poland, I suppose with some help from the brethren here, support these two full-time workers, and they get 1,500 zloty a month. This amounts to about $17 a month. And one of these brethren has five children. The Polish, well, perhaps I should say that, first of all, when I arrived in Warsaw and finally got through customs, which was not as torturous as I had thought it would be and worried about for some 3 or 4 weeks or more. As a matter of fact, they didn't even ask me to open my my bags at all, so I just went right through. But when I got through customs and got into the waiting room, there were about 15 or 17 brethren waiting as a welcoming committee for me. Amongst them were Brother and Sister Bellis of Gary and Brother Vnarovsky of Miami. I also met Brother Kaleta, who was from the Krakow area and who was specially delegated by a vote of the Krakow brethren to come to Warsaw to meet me and to personally escort me to the General Convention. How's that for service? The Polish General Convention is held every other year. The first day, on a Friday, was spent discussing the various activities of the work there in the country, and there were about 200 elders present, and of course there were others who were already arriving for the convention. I spent that day sitting on the stage, and as an item of business would come up and they would discuss it, they would ask me to explain to them how we do it here in America. So I had a sort of busy day, but I enjoyed it. They had the usual reports, and they discussed various problems, such as better pilgrim service and all of that. But what impressed me the most was their stated continued objectives. There were four. One, a greater effort to spread the glad tidings. And notice, they put this first. Perhaps because they don't have the privileges of service that we do here in this country. Two, one of their objectives is to give greater attention to true Christian living. Third, raising the spiritual level of the meeting. And four, giving special attention that the elders and pilgrims be examples in service and character and capable of enlarging their sphere of service. I thought to myself, those were worthy objectives and something that all of us could well say amen to. During lunchtime, one of the brethren came rushing up to me, and he said, "There's a government inspector here, and he wants to see you." And I thought, sure, the jig was up. So I tried to swallow my heart, and I went over to the office, but I found him to be rather congenial, and he was just interested in meeting the representative of the Bible students from America that happened to be there. We had our lunch together in this little office, and while it was rather plain, something that the local sisters had prepared, which consisted of soup, potatoes, and cabbage. Nevertheless, we enjoyed it thoroughly, and the government inspector seemed to be satisfied with our activities and our objectives, but he said that he'd be at the convention and attend every session. So we, of course, knew that he was there. The general convention program began at 9 a.m. and was held in an indoor sports stadium. By noon, there were about 2,000 brethren in attendance, not only from Poland, but there were about 20 from France, 4 from Belgium, 2 from Czechoslovakia, and Sister Stephanie Wozniacka was there from the UN, and there were several of us, of course, from the USA. It was interesting to note that nearly all of the sisters wore babushkas, and hats were very, very stiff. They had folding chairs, and those who came in late had to stand in the aisles and along the wall. The chairman, Brother Gumiela, opened the convention by saying, "Peace be unto you." And in mass, the convention answered, "Peace." I thought it would be interesting if we tried that. I'll say, "Peace be unto you." You answer to me, "Peace." "Peace be unto you." And that's the way it is at every convention and at every meeting. In the opening prayer, Brother Sestrick of Warsaw said, "We are not asking for silver or gold, but for a greater portion of the Holy Spirit and a better understanding of the truth." And the chairman suggested to the brethren that we leave this place just as neat and as clean as we found it. Let us leave this building and its cleanliness and our order as a monument to our fellowship. It sort of reminded me of the way we feel about leaving this place ourselves. Well, during the convention, the brethren set two chairs in front of the first row, and Brother Naroski and I sat in those two chairs during the convention. This gave the brethren an opportunity to come up and visit us. I noticed that as the brethren were arriving at the convention, that most of them were carrying a rather large paper bag. And I wondered about it. But when it came to lunch, I then knew why. Because most of the brethren brought their food with them for 2 days, for breakfast, lunch, and supper. And in most cases, this consisted of one or two loaves of dark rye bread, and some of them had a little sausage, and some of them had a bit of cheese. But you know, when you looked at that scene and you saw them digging into those bags, somehow you lost your appetite, and bread and butter tasted mighty good. Housing at the convention was also a problem. After all the spaces were finally occupied, during the day the brethren were looking for places to put the brethren, then they said, now everybody, this was at the end of the convention, everybody that doesn't have room, come over to the corner here. And there were 200 brethren that didn't have a place to sleep that night at the end of the convention. And so they were, of course, quite desperate. All the hotels were taken, and most of the brethren were sleeping in a large room that was probably the size of this auditorium, lined up with bunk beds. And each of them had their own bed to sleep in. But when this emergency arose, the brethren went down and asked the brethren whether they wouldn't mind having two, or even, if they could, have three brethren sleep in the single bed with them in order to accommodate the brethren. And of course the local brethren in the area took as many home with them as they could. One particular brother and sister had 27 people in their home. And don't forget, they only had one bathroom. It was a present truth convention in every sense of the word. The subjects were oneness of the divine family, signs of the times, wait on the Lord, living for others, the Master's last week, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, the whole counsel of God, and baptism. 28 symbolized their consecration. The convention closed with, God be with you, till we meet again. And then the entire convention, in unison, recited the Lord's Prayer. And that was quite stirring. After that came the farewell. The brethren came up to us, and as usual, as is their habit, the brethren kiss each other, so you get a kiss on one side and you get another one on the other. And if they're very warm, they kiss you the third time. So after 50 or so, I could tell whether brother had shaved that morning or not. The thing that impressed me most of all, I think, was the fact that those brethren there are our brethren. They love the Lord with all of their heart. They have very, very little of this world's good. But they're willing that the truth should cost them something. They go to the meeting at a sacrifice. They're not looking for comfort. They're not looking for anything that would pamper the flesh. But they're going there, as I'm sure we have come here, just because the carcass is here. And where the carcass is, there are the eagles gathered. And so they love the truth, and they're willing that it should cost them something. And what is so very outstanding is that they rejoice in the truth, and their happiness shows. They love you very much. They wanted me to make sure that you got that message. And they asked that you remember them especially in their prayers. And remember that they are serving our Father, and by and by, if we are all faithful even unto death, we shall have the great privilege of meeting them on the other side of the veil. And I want to personally thank you for your prayers on my behalf. May God bless you all.